In 1994, we began to hear that Christians, people that are born again, saved, accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, may also need deliverance. Well, as I discovered in the Bible, that the word salvation and deliverance are exactly the same words. This new thought or new phenomenon became more evident as time went on through various ministries. Today, we're going to look at a ministry, a writer, that has discovered that Christians, too, can need deliverance.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force. Now, here's your host, Dr. James F. Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day.
On today's broadcast, we are going to focus our message from Pablo Batari and his book, Free in Christ. I am going to put myself into Pablo Batari's shoes as he writes, "In my 29 years of experience as a churchgoer and a believer, I had never seen or heard anything related to the deliverance ministry. But when I considered how many people I knew who suffered from oppression, having experienced some oppression myself, I realized that there was much to be gained through this ministry. In July of 1984, a very strong hailstorm broke some of our kitchen windows. As I worked to repair them, I inadvertently blocked a heater's ventilation pipe, and an odorless accumulation of carbon monoxide filled the house. My wife and my daughter were sleeping, and as I was cutting my boy's hair, suddenly Gabriel and I felt ill with terrible headaches. I decided to open the windows. Realizing that something was wrong, I shook my wife awake, but when we tried to do the same with Lizzie, she didn't budge. She laid there unconscious, barely breathing. We were terrified. I pressed her tiny chest, forcing her to exhale. After 7 or 8 frantic attempts, Lizzie started to breathe normally again. Within minutes, professionals arrived and rushed us to the hospital where we were all treated for carbon monoxide poisoning. Back home, we were gratefully thanking God for our lives. We opened our Bibles to 1 Peter 1:7 and read, "These have come so your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." A flash of insight went through me. In those blessed moments of pure thanksgiving, I realized that God had spared us for His divine purpose. We were called by the divine master to serve Him in the glorious work of His kingdom. Two months after the tragic event that nearly killed us, God placed a person in our path who would completely change the way we perceive God. God's divine purpose for our lives began unfolding. One afternoon, a woman who was tormented by demons visited our church. Despite their best efforts and a valiant attempts of our pastors and deacons to help her, they failed miserably. We were all ill-equipped to deal with the problems involving the demonic realm. We were in over our heads, and we knew it. We just couldn't help her. A pastor shared that Carlos Anaconda, a preacher known for casting out demons in the name of Jesus during his evangelistic crusades, had scheduled an evangelistic crusade in a nearby city. We all decided to attend. The first crusade I attended was in San Justo in the province of Buenos Aires. More than 20,000 people crowded into a large lot filled with bright lights that made it look like a fairground. There was praise music, different than I have ever heard, was sung, and the atmosphere was charged with joy and reverent worship. Nothing was familiar to me. The meeting lasted several hours. I was accustomed to the well-organized hour-long services with a couple of hymns, followed by prayer and then a short sermon. Nothing in my church experience prepared me for what I was experiencing there. I noticed a huge tent near the meeting area. Someone told me that that is where demonized people receive ministry. And others who were oppressed by the enemy received deliverance from oppression. In the crusade services, evangelist Carlos Anaconda rebuked demons, and individuals who appeared to be completely insane began to shriek and howl and collapse to the ground, exhibiting spectacular manifestations. They were taken away by groups of stretcher bearers and ushers who carried them out in convulsions, spasms, crying, vomiting, and in some cases, violent fits. It looked like a scene from Dante, an invisible battleground. Often, two or more ushers struggled to carry a single individual. I witnessed a dozen of the people being healed of tumors, blindness, bone disease, and deafness. Even other supernatural marvels such as teeth being filled, like, wow. I was perplexed by the thousands who streamed forward to the altar to receive Christ after a simple evangelistic message. All the eloquent sermons and polished homilies that I had heard never proceeded even in 10% of the response that I witnessed there. An unusual touch of God rested upon this short, energetic man whose raspy voice boomed with spiritual authority and power. His name was Carlos Anaconda. All this was too new to me. I understood very little of what was going on, and I had many questions. What puzzled me most was the fallings. As the preacher prayed for them, many fell to the ground as if they were fainting, and no one was touching them. Despite many of the questions, I had to admit, I could sense the mighty and distinct presence of God in this place. Yes, hallelujah. We returned the next day. Near the end of the meeting, Carlos Anaconda prayed for those in attendance to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, encouraging them to lift their hands to heaven. My wife, my children, and I decided to lift our hands up with the others. In that moment, Margarita fell to the ground as though she was touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. Margarita lay on the floor, her hands lifted up to the heavens, her face glowing with radiant peace. Both Lizzie and Gabriel were frightened, and Lizzie began to cry. "Don't be afraid. Everything's all right," I reassured my children. "Your mother's been touched by God." When Margarita wobbled to her feet a few minutes later, I asked her what happened to her. She explained that although she had remained aware of her surroundings, she felt as if she were in another dimension. The presence of God had been so strong that she didn't want to come back to her senses. I recalled the scripture verse that says, "Test everything, hold on to that which is good," and that's found in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. So I silently told God, "All right, Lord, I accept the challenge." That very same night, I singled out the Crusaders coordinator. I told him of Margarita's experience. Then I started asking him questions. I was genuinely curious about everything I saw. The coordinator introduced me to the vice president of the crusade, who arranged for me to receive a special visitor's identification card. When I returned wearing the ID card, I was able to visit freely among the areas of ministry. In the deliverance tent, I watched those who entered, screaming, disfigured, leave with a radiant glow of peaceful calm. I was overwhelmed by the change. I thought about the deliverance tent continually after that. Then I met Flor Oliveira, a pastor of a church from our denomination, in a deliverance tent. I asked him what he thought of it all. He said, "The evangelist, as well as all those who worked in the crusade, most of them were from a Pentecostal background, were brothers and sisters in Christ. Though he didn't agree with all that was being done, still many of those saved souls would stay in his church," he added. These people would stay and get involved, get active in the church. I didn't know if you will like what I'm about to tell you, but we are the Pharisees of this century. We are full of knowledge, but we lack the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, God shames us by using a very simple, humble man who may not know all the knowledge that we have, but is filled with the Holy Spirit. His words are exactly what I needed to hear. I was able to see that a very humble man was being used by God to lead thousands of souls to the feet of Christ. There was evidently something operating beyond human knowledge. It was the power of God. After the meeting, we gathered with some other believers in the tent of deliverance. Those who had been ministered were drained physically. Those who were ministering were drained physically, emotionally, spiritually. The ministry time was long and exhausting. Our ministry brothers asked us to pray for them, and Pastor Floro prayed and laid hands on each one of them. At that moment, a young lady in her 20s approached the group. When the pastor laid hands on hers, she started to tremble. I thought, this trembling woman must be manifesting a demon. But to my surprise, she was being filled with the Holy Spirit. She began speaking in tongues, another experience I didn't understand. Pastor Floro interpreted the tongues, addressing us. He said, "The Spirit of God is speaking. Get on your knees and humble yourself before the Almighty." I had no idea what was happening. "What we do," asked a deacon who came with me. "What do we do?" asked a deacon that came with me. I spoke up. "If the Lord wants me to get on my knees, I will." We knelt down while the young lady continued to speak in tongues. Pastor Floor interpreted what she was saying. The words had to do with the passage in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that says, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." Still, I didn't understand. When the young woman finished quoting the Bible verse, she exclaimed, "Holy, holy, holy." She burst into a beautiful, sweet song in a soprano voice. Now, I grew up in a family with many singers, and I had sung lyrical songs for a long time. But this young lady sang like an outstanding soprano. When she finished, we stood up. She started to speak in tongues once again. Again, Pastor Flora interpreted, "The Spirit of God is speaking. Get on your knees. Humble yourself before the Almighty." As we bowed lower, I whispered, "Lord, I can't go any lower than this." Once again, Pastor Flora interpreted the text in 2 Chronicles 7:14. "A feeling of brokenness swept over me. Suddenly, I understood that God was calling me to serve Him. Even though I feared the misunderstanding that awaited me, I waited to serve Him with all my heart. A sense of comfort rose within my heart, and I sensed that God was reassuring me He will never abandon me, even in the most difficult situation. He would give me the strength to remain faithful to Him." Pastor Floro continued interpreting, and declared, fire from heaven, a great revival, and then persecution. The woman ended by saying, holy, holy, holy. This time she did not sing. After having bowed down before the Lord, we stood up again, and the pastor told me, I feel the Lord is telling us to lay hands on you to receive an anointing so that from now on you can lay hands on others and pray, even for your pastors. As he prayed and laid hands on me and on the others around me, some fell under an anointing of the Holy Spirit, while others manifested unclean spirits. Then, after this, one of the owners of the company where I worked suffered terrible migraines, sometimes lasting a week. She told me about it, so I offered to pray for her, and she accepted. I simply placed one of my hands on her head and rebuked the pain in the name of Jesus. Minutes later, she said, the pain was completely gone. God had healed her. A few days later, my mother came to visit. As we were saying grace before breakfast, I responded to an inner prompting and rebuked the devil. Instantly, my mother fell down. I lifted up her limp body and took her to our bedroom, gently placing her on her bed. I didn't know how to help her regain consciousness. I felt very scared, but she recovered quickly. Later, I learned that she was feeling depressed and the power of God was at work. In my 29 years of experience as a churchgoer and a believer, I had never seen or heard anything related to the deliverance ministry. But when I considered how many people I knew who had suffered from oppression, having experienced some oppression myself, I realized that there was much to be gained through this ministry. As a young believer, I remember experiencing a distressing feeling that something was wrong with me. I almost felt as if someone was pulling my hair, my ears were ringing, and my heart was beating wildly. When I visited several doctors, they found nothing to explain my uncomfortable symptoms. I had no answers to explain what was happening to me. Several pastors encouraged me to pray and trust in God, but no one seemed to know how to help me. I decided my symptoms were caused by a demonic attack. Therefore, I confronted Satan directly, something I had never done before. I told him, I belong to Christ. I belong to Jesus. If you make one of my ears ring, then make the other ring too. No matter what you do, I belong to Christ. If you pull my hair, pull harder because I belong to Christ. I declared, even if Satan found a way to kill me, I still knew I had the victory. Now, I understand that I was being oppressed by a spirit of depression, and that was rooted in resentment I felt over a work-related issue. The Lord used many experiences in my own life and in the lives of others to teach me how the kingdom of darkness works and how to overcome these evil forces. We've not been left defenseless before the powers of darkness. I remember what happened to me during a meeting of pastors and leaders where miraculous healings were discussed. Everyone was arguing about whether miracles were for today. I kept silence until it was my turn to voice my opinion. Then I asked, what are you, servants of the Lord? No one answered. We are servants, I continued, and servants don't question their Lord. They obey him. If the word of God tells us to lay hands on the sick so that they will get well, I obey the command. Why don't we lay aside all our arguments and begin to put that which the Lord tells us to do into practice? If we are determined to serve the Lord with our hearts, we have the promise that he will be with us. See Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. They call the Great Commission. Jesus Christ himself will help us to accomplish his mandate. If we're committed to do what he wants us to do, he will be with us in power. A testimony I experienced. One time we ministered to a pastor's daughter who was overwhelmed by hatred and resentment because her father had not been a good example in her life. Those feelings were so strong that they were destroying her. She had leukemia and suffered from arthritis. Her brother-in-law was assisting in a crusade that insisted that she needed ministry
too.
We prayed and rebuked demons for several hours in a row, but nothing happened. It wasn't until the 15th day that she finally manifested. It was so violent that it took 5 or 6 people to hold her down. The hatred had been deeply buried inside her. Only when it surfaced could she confess the reasons why she hated her father so much. She renounced her hatred and was set free. As we recognize the reluctance of deep-rooted bondages to manifest so that we may deal with them, we must be persistent in allowing God time to do His deep work within each person's life. The psychologist's wife of an evangelical preacher came into the tent for deliverance at one of our crusades. By the time I approached her, the people ministering to her had rebuked every spirit they sensed was involved in her bondage. But without any visible results, they had even rebuked the spirit of psychology. The ministry team requested my help. I explained that there were 3 possible reasons why a believer would manifest a demonic spirit. It could be hatred, tremendous fear, or some unbroken vow with the devil. In her case, I suspected it was fear. So I asked her, "Were you ever tremendously afraid?" She told me at 13 years of age, she had gone to visit her uncle and aunt. They were not at home, but her 20-year-old cousin was there. He tried to force her to have sexual relations with him and fondled her. She screamed until some of the neighbors came and rescued her. Sometime later, her cousin was put into an institution, but the woman could never overcome her fear. Although she was now married and had children, her past trauma hindered her from enjoying normal intimate relations with her husband. When she renounced the fear and the hatred, she was set free. My wife was with me, helping me to minister to this girl. She experienced such an overwhelming sense of freedom that she wanted to kiss my wife's hands. Placing her hands on her chest, she wept and repeated, "I can't believe it. I don't feel the oppression anymore." As ministers to those in bondage, we must learn what opened the door in an individual's life for the demonic to enter. Rather than focusing on the effects of oppression and bondage, it is essential to understand the causes. Deliverance is not a ministry reserved for highly gifted. It is a task that the Lord entrusts to all believers, no matter how humble or simple they might be. The main requirement is to carry it out in obedience and subjection to His authority. If we are ready to do what He wants, He will go with us. He will give us the power and authority in His name to break down the gates of hell. From Pablo Batari's book, Free in Christ, we read, "What is deliverance? In the broad sense of the word, I believe that deliverance was God's desire for man since the fall. Shortly after creating him, God saw that man was oppressed, subject to sin, and lacking His grace and mercy. Thus, God elaborated a precious plan of deliverance. Jesus came to deliver us, to remove the yoke of oppression and the captivity from the hands of the devil. His desire was to deliver His creatures who are sometimes bound and committed to the devil. Deliverance is not about shouting. It is focused on discovering what is it that is giving the enemy authority to remain in a person's life. God loves his children. God loves you. And God wants to see you free. He longs to help you and give you freedom, the freedom that you need. God's real motive is to restore human beings to his image and likeness. The grace and mercy of God are evident in the ministry of deliverance. God provided the solution to the problem of satanic slavery in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, God's deep desire to set his children free was manifested. Jesus himself declared his ministry's redemptive purpose. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The good news is God's redemptive plan of salvation and deliverance. God remembered the oppressed and came to set them free. Jesus came to fulfill his Father's promise to rescue man from Satan's yoke. He came to undo the works of the devil. Here's a verse that lays it all out. John 10:10. The thief, talking about the devil, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." As it says in the King James Bible, life in abundance.
If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. Feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, you receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify. If you feel lost, he's a way maker.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rome.
If our program has been a blessing to you today and God has touched your heart, your mind, or your body, take some time and write a note to us.
I'd like to hear from you. You can write to me at Jim Rome, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. Once again, our mailing address is Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. That's all for today. God bless.